Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds, that we may hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us today. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning I want to look closer at the statement we have from Jesus in the Gospel reading. You know, where he says, to repent and believe. Now, that's a fundamental part of our liturgy, isn't it? Just earlier in the confession, we talked about repenting and believing, talked about forgiveness to those who repent and believe. But one of the things, one of the problems, if you like, of our modern world is that words often either change their meanings or get watered down a bit, don't they? What do we actually mean by repent and believe? What do those words mean? Now, sometimes we get confused and think that repent just means to say, I'm sorry. That is a part of it, don't get me wrong.
Turn around.
Turn around, yes, that's what the word does mean. It means a turning around. And in fact, in the Old Testament, where the word, the literal word repent isn't there, it means to turn back. Turn back to God. But we often confuse it with this concept of being sorry, of saying I'm sorry. Now, those of you who are parents, and if you have more than one child, you will have that situation where you're telling one child to tell the other child that they're sorry. Apologise to your brother. Apologise to your sister. And you remember how that sorry is said? You know, I'm sorry. Is that meant? Some of you may be honest enough to remember when you were a kid and you did similar sort of things. Now, sometimes we can fall into that bit of a trap where when we are saying that we repent of our sins, that we are sorry for our sins, that, you know, oh God, if I have to, I'll say I'm sorry. But parents, have you ever noticed that begrudged sorry normally means no change, does it? The action that happens, gotta happen again. How often does our sorry to God mean that we have no intention of doing anything different? Repent and believe. We can see here in this passage from Mark's Gospel that this is what Jesus said. Mark presents this as the start of his ministry. One could almost suggest that Mark is saying, this sums up what Jesus preached. The time has come, fulfillment, kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. What is the good news? What he was just saying. The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Why? What does this mean? The Messiah is here. God in the flesh. He himself is the good news. He is here. As Peter says, repent means to turn around. When Jesus used it, it means turn to him, follow him, and believe. Now, we often split those two words, and I admit I'll do a bit of that this morning, but when we come to understand the words repent and believe, they are inseparable. If you truly believe, then you will repent. And you can't repent unless you believe. These two words aren't an either or. You know, I believe in Jesus, but I haven't repented. You know, I'm still going to keep doing some of the stuff I know he doesn't like, but we're all good. That's not what this means. This means a total focus on Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to want to please him, isn't it? It's to want him to look upon you with pleasing eyes. Remember, Paul talks about that his greatest desire is to one day be before his Lord Jesus and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For those we love, for those we are dedicated to, for them to be pleased with you is utter joy, isn't it? And don't you want to do things to get that outcome? So repent and believe are tied together. But there are still some traps we fall into. And I have here a quote from Spurgeon. I've always been a big Spurgeon fan. Long before I was Lutheran, I learned a lot about Luther from Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a big fan. He was a preacher in the 19th century England, a Baptist preacher, and is often referred to across denominations as the Prince of Preachers. And he said many, many wise things. And I quite like this statement here about repentance. He says, "A man may hate sin just as a murderer hates the gallows. But this does not prove repentance. If I hate sin because of the punishment, I have not repented of sin." Let that sink in. If I hate sin because of the punishment, then I have not repented. I merely regret that God is just. But if I see sin as an offence against Jesus Christ, and I loathe myself because I have wounded him, then I have a true brokenness of heart. You see what he's saying there? There's often a tendency, and not so much in churches these days, but some of you may be old enough to remember the Helen Brimstone type preaching that, you know, repent today or otherwise you're going to burn, and talk about the fires and really go on about all that's going to happen, and people are scared witless. And therefore, who repents? Me. As he's saying here, if you are turning to God just to avoid the disaster, that's not what repentance is about. What we're talking about here is a relationship. It is not a get out of jail free card that we're talking about. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus. We're talking about a situation where we don't want to see him hurt by our actions. And because he loves us so dearly, when we fall into sin, he is hurt. He has lived for us. He has died for us. He has been risen from the dead for us. Can you see what Spurgeon's getting at here? It's that relationship is what's behind repentant belief. It is not just, I want to be a Christian because I have this aversion to having my toes burnt, or, you know, whatever punishment that you're avoiding. I would suggest in 21st century, at least in the Western world, we've almost gone the other way, where we're not avoiding hell, where we're signing up to get to heaven. We've made the reward the focus rather than the avoiding of punishment. We're now after the reward. We want to be in heaven because that sounds like a good place to be. That would also still fit in with what Spurgeon's saying here. That's not repenting. That's that you want to be in a place where there's no more suffering. You want a glorified body. You want all these wonderful perks. Now, I'm not denying any of those wonderful perks, but they are a result of that relationship with Jesus, of putting your trust in Jesus, of believing in him, of repenting. They are the result. They are not the purpose. They are my desire should not be to get to heaven. It should be to spend eternity with my Lord Jesus. Yes, I know, basically, there's an overlap between those. But it's, where is your priority? Is it to be with Jesus? Is that your heart's desire? If it is, then this repent and believe fits in quite logically. In our Old Testament reading, we saw this thing with Jonah. If you read the story of Jonah, and we did cover it in Bible study the other year, Jonah's a bit of a funny story. It's almost a satire. It's well worth reading. You basically have a prophet who doesn't want to speak. It's like having a pastor who doesn't want to speak. I mean, that's our job, isn't it, to speak? He's to proclaim the word of the Lord. He's to go to the northeast, and so he heads southwest. Everything seems to be upset. The people who show the best understanding of God are the pagans around. The people on the boat, the people that... It's a real weird story, but it actually reveals through this approach so much about God. And we discover right at the end in chapter 4 the reason Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh, why we had to have a big fish swallow him up and spew him out and get him in the right direction, was because he knew how good God was. Let that sink in. He knew how good God was, and that he really hated the Ninevites. They were enemies of Israel. But he knew that if they turned to God, if they repented, what did he know God would do? He would forgive them. He would accept them. And there's no way he wanted that. And then he begrudgingly preaches. And what do we have happened? The people repented. They wore sackcloth. They even made their... The text indicates they made their animals wear sackcloth. They repented as a whole, every man, woman and child. And we're told that God showed mercy towards them. Repent and believe means that change will occur. We see this quite well in the New Testament. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? This is coming up to that last week in Jerusalem. Jesus is going through Jericho, and we have this short tax collector who is afraid that he won't be able to see Jesus as he passes. He wants to be in on all the action, so what does he do? Climbs a tree. There's the tree. Well, there's a tree. But after the tree... Remember, Jesus walks by, he sees him, Jesus doesn't condemn him. This guy has a lot of problems. Jesus doesn't condemn him. Do you remember what Jesus says to him? Come down, Zacchaeus, I'm going to have dinner with you. Have you ever thought of that as an evangelical approach? Hi there, let's go have a meal, let's go have a cuppa. And just that... those words from Jesus, and Zacchaeus is a changed man. How do we know he repents of what he has done? He talks about the actions he is going to follow. And that photo there is of Zacchaeus giving out money to all that he has cheated. He's going to pay them back. Often when we think of the actions that result from our repentance, it's a bit like a joke or a humorous tale I once heard of a store, a big department store, received a letter. You know, back in the days when you used to write letters, today it'd probably be an email, but this is an older story. So it was a handwritten letter, and it included a check. For those newer people, once upon a time we wrote on pieces of paper that you could take to the bank and get money for. So, and there was a cheque for $100. And the letter said, I have become a Christian And since becoming a Christian, I'm finding I'm having trouble at night sleeping. So I want to repent of all the stuff that I have stolen from you. And so here is $100 to pay back what I have stolen from you. P.S. If I still have trouble sleeping, I'll send you the rest. Now isn't our repenting a bit like that at times? That's funny because it hits a bit of a truth. We're happy to do a step. Maybe even two. But surely that's enough. Do we really want to build bridges? Do we really want reconciliation? Do we really want to be peacemakers? Well, Jesus in the Beatitudes tells us that's exactly what the people who follow him should be. Or are we going to be people who are wrapped up in being right? Sometimes that's the emphasis today. Sometimes when it comes to apologies, they can almost be what I call a non-apology. I've received a few of these over the years. You may have done too. A non-apology goes something along the lines of, I am sorry that you took offence at what I said. Or something along those sort of lines. Why is that a non-apology? Because you're the one, I haven't done anything wrong. You're hurt because you took offence. Or it's like saying, I'm sorry that you felt pain because I punched you in the face, you know. It's not my fault, it's your fault for having a nervous system. So, and even the very word apology, we often forget that the word apology in its origin, I'm not saying it means it all the time these days, but to give an apology is to give a defence. What's giving a defence of Christianity called? Apologetics. It's to give an apology, give an argument. Give an argument for why you are right. That doesn't sound very much like repentance, does it? I'm going to show God whilst, you know, technically what he says in the Bible, what I've done is a sin. There are reasons. And here they are. So it's all okay. No, repenting is, as Peter said, that turning around, that focusing on Jesus. And as I devote myself to Jesus, one of the things I find, and I think you find as well, is this repenting is not as easy as it all seems. We may say those little words, repent and believe, but in this world, that's hard. And then we start to discover that we're not meant to even do that by ourselves. That the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps bringing us back to the cross. Keeps, as we try to head this way, he's telling us to turn and head that way, to keep our focus on the cross. Luther, I can't quote Spurgeon without also quoting Luther. Luther, in his first of the 95 theses, you know those fun things that he nailed to the door. The first one talks all about this. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. The theses were a set of things that Luther thought were what was wrong with the church, that we really need to get together and have a good discussion about these things. This is one of the areas where he saw that there was a problem, that it is all about repentance. That's what it should be about, that repent and believe. Sometimes we can fall into the trap of we repent and believe and become Christians, and then it's all about becoming the best Christian you can become. Well, part of that is true. It's also about realising how often I stuff it up when it comes to being the best Christian I can be. And when I mess up, I need to repent. I need to turn back to the cross. I need to keep coming back to Jesus. I need to keep handing over my sin. I need to keep receiving his forgiveness. It is not a one-off thing. It is a daily thing. It's your whole life until you go from this life to be with your Lord and Saviour. You are in a life of repenting, of believing, of putting your focus on Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit works within you, you may find, and I've found this over the years, that there's some things that 20 or 30 years ago I had a problem with that don't seem to really be a problem for me anymore. And you may say, oh, check that off the list, you know, I'm going in the right direction. But what I find with the Holy Spirit, as he fixes up one thing, you know what I suddenly see in my life? All these other problems that need to be addressed. And so, okay, Lord, let's have a bit of a work on this one. And go away. And as you work, as the light of the Holy Spirit works within you, it lightens up and you see more areas. There may be some areas that for some reason the Holy Spirit never seems to be able to get you over. Some of you might have trouble with patience or with anger that you're still fighting with. Then you'll see someone else that the Holy Spirit works in, and suddenly some of their major problems just disappear. And others, they will wrestle with that for their whole life. Why? Scripture doesn't tell us. God is God. The Spirit works the way the Spirit will. But we've got to keep turning back to him, realizing that we haven't arrived. Yes, we are saved. Yes, Jesus is Lord and Saviour. But whilst we are on this planet, in a world where sin and the devil still exist, they have been conquered, sin, death and the devil have been defeated, but we're in that aftermath, that wrapping up of the battles. Whilst they are still around, we will still fall victim. We will still need to keep turning back, to continue to repent and believe, with the assurance that because of what Jesus has done, we will always be accepted back. We will always receive forgiveness. Not through anything we've done. It's not our repenting that is getting us the forgiveness. The forgiveness is there on offer. Our turning back is, that's where the forgiveness is, at the foot of the cross. Brothers and sisters, as you go out into this week, as you go out into the rest of your lives, may it be one of repentance as you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.